the process of becoming a private pilot, or at least the way it's documented, changed a bit last year with the introduction of airman certification standards for private pilot and for a few others as well. Susan Parson is with us, and she's the project lead for airman certification standards. She's also the editor of FAA Flight Safety Briefing. Susan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
So it's been a big year since about this time last year when the first round of airman certification standards was introduced. What's the year been like in this area since then?
It's been really positive. We've been delighted to find that people have accepted it and used it. And I've been hearing around the show that it's made things a lot easier for people. In fact, I heard that this morning from somebody over at the FAA booth. Certainly, there have been challenges, and there are things that we've found that we've needed to revise and look at, and we've been doing that. But it's a living document, and we're working with the industry to try to make it the best product it can possibly be.
Susan, can you address that? What have been some of the challenges, and what's changed, you know, from the initial certification?
Sure.
Or from the initial release?
So last year we released the private pilot airplane and the instrument airplane rating ACS documents to replace the PTS. This year we also introduced the commercial pilot airplane ACS. One of the things that was a little controversial last summer was when we first came out was the way that we had handled the slow flight installs question, particularly the slow flight. We had modified it so the idea was that slow flight is a normal flight operation. It's what you do in the pattern. You don't want to go around with the stall horn on. And we certainly didn't want to train to that. So we had the way that we framed the standard, particularly the skill standard, a lot of people had some concerns about that because they didn't think it was going to lead to the right kind of training, much less testing. So we've had a lot of conversations with the community. We discussed it a lot, and we revised it this year. And also put out a SAFO, safety alert for operators, to explain a little bit more what the rationale was. And I think it's a great example of the FAA working with the community to make sure that we're all trying to do the right thing.
So who were the stakeholders who were providing input to this?
There are a lot of people on the ACS working group. There's a slide presentation on the airman testing page of the FAA website that includes everybody. But we have NAFI and SAFE, both the instructor communities. They've been involved. A lot of the some of the academic school, Embry-Riddle and University of North Dakota, are both represented on the working group. So we in the Florida Institute of Technology, Polk State College, we got a lot of feedback from active instructors and evaluators. Said, hey, this doesn't work quite the way that you meant for it to. And we looked at it and we made modifications, and we're going to continue to do that.
So back to the slow flight discussion, I remember how I was taught to do slow flight, and I remember how I used to teach slow flight. Well, would I be doing it differently now?
You would. The way that I learned, and I think you and I learned at slightly different times, but probably the same thing. I learned slow flight as really what it was called, minimum controllable airspeed.
Yes.
And so I was supposed to fly around with the stall horn blaring. And the problem with that, we all know about the law of primacy, that you habituate someone to the idea that they're supposed to do something that actually we don't want them to do. So the way that we're framing it now, the way that I use it in presentations, is that slow flight, as we want you to do it on the check, the flight test, is a normal operation. It's a slow speed, what you would be using in the traffic pattern. And if you want to think about where MCA fits in, it's abnormal. If you have the stall horn sound or any stall warning activate, we want you to do something to stop that.
Sure.
And a full stall, unless it's fully briefed and is part of practice and training, is an emergency situation. So you have normal, abnormal, and emergency. And when I frame it that way in discussions, you usually see a light bulb going off. Oh, yeah, I see what you're trying to do. So we haven't taken that minimum controllable airspeed. I use that because lots of people still are familiar with it. We haven't taken that away. It's actually now in the stall tasks for both the private and the commercial, that when you get to that particular point, you're supposed to announce the impending stall. What we're going for is recognize and do something to recover. But we want people to be proficient in slow flight as you would use it in the pattern. But, you know, I've actually flown with people. There was one person in particular who was on short final and the stall horn was going off and he wasn't doing anything because I think, you know, one of the things that happens is you get habituated. So we don't want that.
What you've explained makes so much sense. And yet there's been controversy around the creation of the standards. What's driving the controversy? Just discomfort with something new?
I think some of it's just comfort with something new. The controversy really was, most of the controversy that we had last summer was around the slow flight issue and the why did you do this? And so we had intentions. We did do that with the working group, but we got other input and then we made the modifications. But some of the other things, there was a lot in social media, and I think some of it was, this is new, this is different. And there seemed to be the sense that it was developed in some dark corner of the FAA by people who never flew. Well, that's not true, because all of those of us who had part of it, we do fly, we do care. But the truth is, this is absolutely industry-driven. If you look at the list of people and organizations that are involved, this was created for, by, and is being maintained and improved by members of the community who are active in flight instruction every single day.
We're talking with Susan Parson of the FAA. She's the head of the project that creates airman certification standards and the editor of FAA Safety Briefing magazine. Let's talk about the magazine for a little bit. What sorts of things have you been writing about and covering in the magazine that are of particular interest to you?
Well, I think of particular interest to everybody, especially here, is the focus of this, the issue that we always call it the Oshkosh issue, our July-August issue. It's basic med. And so we've got a lot of information, questions and answers, frequently asked things. There's a lot of material on the FAA webpage, but we created this particular issue of the magazine to have a handy reference for everybody. There's a wonderful graphic that we actually have in a page on in the FAA Safety Center for people to pick up too. It looks like a procedure, a SID or a STAR, and it's you just follow that to this is what you can and can't do with basic med. And I've seen on social media, I'm going to take this, I'm going to pass this around because it's an easy way to understand
kind of like a roadmap to success.
It's a roadmap to success. One of our staff developed it, and I thought, oh, this is so clever. I wish I'd thought of it.
So there are, I know there are some stories about particular, prescriptions for safer flying. Does that become part of your editorial agenda as you're kind of picking through what to write about?
Oh, absolutely. We actually have an issue coming up. We're gonna use the Casablanca theme, round up the usual suspects, and we're gonna talk about things like loss of control in flight, runway incursions. What we're trying to do is a creative and fresh look at some of the things that are common problems. But if we just throw it out there as that topic, everybody sort of yawns and, well, okay, I've heard about that before. So we're hoping that if we try to take a creative approach to it, and the usual suspects is a good one, that will it'll make people stop and pay attention and look at it a little differently.
If I could return back to the airman certification standards for just a moment, what's next? I mean, what are members of the flight training community going to see in terms of a time frame, and what are the other projects that you're involved in?
Sure. Well, we look to revise the ones that are out there. That would be private instrument and commercial. First revisions will be next June. We're trying to not make 17 revisions in the same year because we want it to be stable for the community. And as long as there's nothing desperately wrong, and we're confident that's not the case, we're going to leave it alone. But we are working on the airline transport pilot ACS. There's one for the aircraft mechanic with airframe and power plant certificates. So we got into the maintenance side, which is desperately in need of reform as well. And then one I'm particularly excited about is the instructor ACS. And I'll be talking about that one in particular at the NAFI tent Friday at 1:00. And then I do an ACS presentation in the Safety Center on Friday at 4:00. So the instructor ACS is, as one of our members puts it, it's a different breed of cat. It's been very challenging, but we're trying to make sure that we're doing something that makes sense.
I remember from last year, you were telling us about how you're building in risk management into so many parts of the ACS. Is that going to be a constant theme throughout all of the programs?
Absolutely. They all look like we have knowledge, risk management, and skills. So we say it's everything you need to know, consider, and do to be a competent and safe pilot, not just to pass the certification test, but to pass the real life test every day. That's what we're really aiming to do. And so one of the things about the instructor risk management or the instructor ACS is we're talking about not only managing or teaching risk management, but managing the risk involved in flight instruction.
Speaking of testing, I suppose that with the development of airman certification standards, there's also new test questions for the knowledge test. Is that true, and is that in progress as well?
They are being revised constantly and revised to align with the appropriate ACS. And we want the questions to make sense. So we don't ask questions anymore about what is the height of blowing sand. That's my favorite bad question.
That's great.
So you say the question update's a kind of an ongoing thing.
Yes, it is.
Was there sort of a pulse of those last year at the time the ACS?
Actually, we had, by the time the ACS was published, we had already aligned all of the active knowledge test questions for private and instrument with the ACS. We did the same thing with the commercial, and we're continuing to work with the commercial and also ATP. So it's a long, continuous process. We're trying to rebuild the airplane while we're flying it, basically.
And the curriculum publishers, are they ready with the new standards when the standards are released, generally
speaking?
Absolutely.
And since we've published so much material about it, and some of those people are involved in the group, they know about it. And last year on June 15th, they were ready with our ACS compliant courseware on day one.
That's great.
So that's Susan Parson, who's with the FAA, is the editor of FAA Safety Briefing and also the project lead for Airman Certification Standards. Thanks so much for coming in and giving us the update.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Paul, we're at the end of another hour of Squawk 1200.
It's been a great show, Mike.
It's coming up on 1300 hours, and you're going to be hearing from Jaymont G on the fly way down south in the Fun Fly Zone. If you haven't been there yet, give a listen and then take a visit. This is EAA Radio.